Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Yes, sir. Once again, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, and I'm joined again by football expert, Mr. Craig Barzee. What's good, man?
Not much, man. Just living life, man. Once again, though, I got to remind you, that's all things expert, sir. All things expert.
Okay, we flipping it. Yeah. All right, man, we'll get that intro changed next week, man. We'll see what we can come up with for you. But, man, let's get into these stories, man. We got a lot going on, man. Bobby Bowden decided to go ahead and let it go ahead and retire. He didn't take that offer that was on the table from, you know, from what they're saying. It was an offer of him staying on as a figurehead only, no real responsibility, and he decided to turn it down, man. I commend the dude for that.
Yeah, man. Old people got principles, man. What that dude is going to stand there like a statue on the sidelines, man. That's ridiculous for them to ask him to do that. Either you want him there or you don't want him there.
Right.
Just make a decision, man. To say you don't want, you want to move on and move on, man. That's basically all they said. They gave him an out to say, like, hey, we try to make some concessions so, you know, if you want to come back, he can come back. But really, he stripped the man all his power, man. He's like a senior citizen with a kid doing all the driving for, you know, like he's like an old senior citizen, man. He can't no longer drive himself, can't do anything. He's just sitting on the sidelines, man, listening. He really doesn't have any executive power to make any decisions. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, so they basically put up a thing of embarrass yourself or walk away with your dignity. He chose to walk away with his dignity. I respect him for doing it. To be honest, he probably should have went ahead and done it last year. You know, just because he knew what was going to come down. But, I mean, while we're in the realm of college football, sir, I mean, hate to bring this up, sir, but it did happen. Defensive end Carlos Dunlap was arrested this morning, DUI.
Jackass, man, jackass.
Was at a green light sleep, man, with the car running.
Yeah, man, it ain't looking too good. I think he's not going to play in that game.
Yes, it's just out there. Urban Meyer's put it out. He's suspended for the national championship game. And, I mean, this guy, what was he, most valuable player last year in the national championship game?
Man, I don't understand how he could be so stupid, man. God dang it, man. That hurts me more than anything, man. All the news I heard today, man, all everything, even, you know, even work-related stuff, man, that's the most hurtful thing, man. What the hell was he thinking, man?
There got to be some co-ed around that will drive you wherever you needed to go.
Man,
you know what I mean? After the party or whatever.
Man, I don't care what his problem is, man, or if there was a co-ed. The point is, man, championship game, you know you can't take no risk, man. You can't be out there doing stupidness like that, man. You got to do that kind of crap when the season's over, man.
How far off are you if it's a case to where you sleep at the wheel at a green light, man? That's not a regular DUI situation, bro.
Hey, man, that's called pass out drunk, dog. He was pretty much knocked out, man. That means you drunk so much alcohol, all you do is pass out, man. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing he probably didn't go anywhere, man, because he probably
he could have hurt somebody, man.
Yep.
We'll see if there's any, you know, real fallout from this as far as the game goes with Alabama. So, if anything, he's going to be rooting the hardest for Florida. So, hopefully, things go in their way, man, and everything doesn't fall back on that young man. Next up, man, your boy AI got an offer, man. Say a one-year deal's on the table from Philly.
Yeah, good for Ivy.
Not the best case scenario, but.
Good for him.
They're good for him. Hopefully he doesn't take it, man, as far as I'm concerned. I definitely don't want to see him out there. But I guess, I mean, if he has to do it, he has to do it.
Don't have to do nothing, man. I think he probably made enough money. Made enough money where he doesn't have to do that. But, hey, man, it is what it is. If you want to play basketball, the other only one's offering him a contract, then so be it. Go on and do what you do, Iverson. Go on, get out there, shoot the balls up. Retard the young players' progress, And then at the end of the season, you'd be looking for another gig again.
If you call it progress, hey, man, it ain't like they got it really cracking out there in Philly, to
hey,
be
man.
Honest. I mean, that's why the offer's on the table. So,
and it's good they're
going to
be
cracking
with Iverson?
Yeah,
cracking with
a little more scoring punch, man.
I guess
they figured we make the playoffs. But Philly fans aren't stupid, man. That's not good enough anymore. First-round exits won't cut it.
Do you think Iguodala and Elton Brand going to do nothing but play defense and rebound, let Allen Iverson shoot up all the balls, man? And kick it back.
Well, he's not that Iverson anymore either.
Oh, really?
He's not good enough.
He's
not good enough to do that anymore.
Well, he thinks he is.
Well, he's going to get a rude awakening, though, because he's definitely not good enough to do that anymore. But, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. Let's get on to the tabloid story, man. It's been all over the media. It's a real circus, not like what they call everything nowadays. This has turned into an actual circus. Vans parked out in front of a man's home. Stuff is looking crazy for your boy Tiger Woods, man.
Hey, man, you know how it is, man. Look, man, people just looking for something, man. You know what I mean? Whether it's the truth or not, they're looking for it. If you ask me what happened, hey, man, real suspicious when you start talking about a skinny white broad lifting up some 6 foot, 200-some-odd pound man from the front seat, dragging him through the back of an Escalade. Hey, man, of all stories you could have came up with, man.
Hey, man, he said she was courageous, brother. So
hey,
that's
man,
why
whatever,
she was able to lift him up. She was
it,
courageous.
Man. Whatever you want to call it, man. I don't see what the media – what does Tiger Woods owe anybody an explanation for anyway? Who
hey, man, too much is given, man. That's the way it goes. If you're a big story, anything that happens with you, it's
okay,
going to be a big story. Now, if you
story,
explain
but,
it terribly like he did, you're going to have this kind of fallout, man.
Okay, he told people a story, and then people are, well, okay, if it's not true, it's not good enough. I mean, if that's his truth, then that's his truth. If you're not going to get anything else, move on, man. I don't see what people are talking about. They should hold an investigation. Cops say
because
no alcohol.
They don't, no reporter's going to accept that. You're not going to get anything else.
Please,
if you're working
man.
On a beat and you're eating off what you're reporting, if you can break this story, man, you're looking at a very nice payday. So, of course,
please,
they're looking,
man. Please,
if
man,
the story
please.
Turns out to where this woman actually attacked him and they can run that so many ways for so long. So, I mean, they're going to keep digging until they think they found something. I mean, this is the bet he's made, man. He's going to have to figure out a way to deal with it.
Man, they just
personally, I believe the story. I believe Mr. Woods was leaving his house at 2:30 for some reason and – you know, it happened to hit the fire hydrant.
Right.
Passed out. His wife, you know, sprung into action, knocked the back window out, like you said, dragged a 6 foot, I would say about 180 pound man through the Escalade to safety.
I don't believe it. Through the back window, from the front seat. Come on, man. In an Escalade.
Through the broken glass, everything, man. That's why he said she acted courageously, man.
And where was he going at 2:30 in the morning, man?
He was going to the store, man, pick up some Funyuns and whatnot.
Yeah, to get
man.
Some Similac for the kids. Is that
yeah,
what it was?
Yeah, regular thing, man.
Yeah, whatever. Tell that bill of goods to somebody that don't know them better, man. I'll tell you this much. To me, I don't give a damn, but it's like this, though. It is what it is, man. You know, if she did do it, and he's sticking in there, sticking up for it, you know, telling a lie so she don't get in trouble, so
mm-hmm.
be it. It's that man's business, man. You know, the cops
Ooh.
Say there's no legal issues. You know, it's no longer a story, man. ESPN
nah.
shouldn't even report on it. Why are they out there looking for dirt? Who gives a damn at this point, man? If there's no
Dude,
legal
after
start,
you see. Can you really ask that question after you've seen Favre watch, sir? Are you really surprised after Favre watch? Come on now, man. You know they're not going to leave us alone. This is what they do, man. Now, let me say something real quick. The other day, happened to be at a garage sale, picked up a day in sports little calendar, man. So it has an event for every day of the year, man, something that happened in the past. And today I just flipped through it, and I don't know if most people who aren't real avid basketball fans are familiar with Marvin Barnes, But he was a high-scoring player. He was known mostly for his attitude. Anyway, well, this is the story that I got today out of the calendar, because I'm rolling with it, man. Every day I'm bringing a story for Speaking Like You Think It, because that's how we do. But he was told the airline itinerary for the Spirit of St. Louis that scheduled an 8 a.m. flight. It was an East Coast departure from Louisville and a 7:59 a.m. arrival in St. Louis. Marvin Barnes said, "Man, I ain't getting no time machine. I don't care what y'all say. Get me a bus." So Marvin didn't understand how they could leave at 8 a.m. and arrive at 7:59 somewhere else. And he wasn't getting on that plane, bro. Take it five if you want to take it, man. But all it does is add to the legend of Marvin Barnes, the man who once had 48 points after a game and told the reporter, "You see how selfish my teammates are? Nobody got the ball to me so I can get 50.
Hey, man.
That dude is a walking sports story, man.
That sounds about right, man. You want to get on no time machine, man. He wasn't letting them white folks play him, man.
Marvin Barnes, bro. So anyway, now that if you're a listener of Speaking Like You Think It Radio, you know about the real subjects that we cover, and the main focus is the NBA and the NFL. And when we go to the NFL, man, we don't just cover the season; we cover everything, off season, upcoming players, everything. And for those that don't know, Craig Barzee put up a NFL draft board of seniors and juniors earlier in the year before everybody else. And, sir, did you have a player on your board listed highly that nobody else had in the top five?
At the time, yes, sir. Man, that name is hard to pronounce, man.
Yes, sir. I was definitely going to have to put that one on you. I'm going to say, let's go to your draft board, updated draft board for today, which is December 2nd. And we're going with you have on your board, number one, the defensive tackle from Nebraska.
Demacon Sue.
Yes, sir, however you say it. Can you give us a little breakdown on the guy?
Yeah, man. It's a beast, man. If you've been watching especially the Missouri game he played on TV, the game against Virginia Tech, this guy's a beast, man. Dominates. He drops back in coverage. He's got a couple of interceptions, I believe, this year. He's got a lot of pass deflections, can sack, can get up and down the field, man. He's a force, man. I had him ranked ahead of Gerald McCoy since the start, actually about the third week of the season, second to third.
Okay. Okay, so that's number one on your board. And number two, you have listed safety from Tennessee, Eric Berry.
Enough said on him, man. 6 foot, can hit, can cover. Number one safety on my board, head of Taylor Mays.
Is there a chance, depending on what a team needs, that he could be the number one overall pick ahead of Sue?
No.
No? Sue's that good?
Yeah, Sue's that good.
Okay. And the third player on your board, sir, is Mr. Russell Okung as an offensive tackle from Oklahoma State.
Yep. Saw him against Georgia. You saw him against Oklahoma. He's played pretty good, man. He's solid. I got him rated my number one tackle coming out.
And since he's the number one tackle, I'm assuming that means left tackle, right? Okay, he's going to be a left tackle up there. And number four, we got the playmaker, C.J. Spiller, running back from Clemson.
Another guy I had ranked ahead of everybody. When everybody was on that Javid Best nut sack, I had him as my number one running back.
I think people are coming around now.
He was actually lower at the beginning of the season. I had him somewhere around 12. Job at best around 18 or so. But as you've seen, C.J. Spiller, he can do a lot of things, man.
Yeah.
He
he's damn near willed that team into the ACC championship game. Number five, you got Taylor Mays, safety, USC.
Yep. Taylor Mays, beast, vicious hitter, man. Coverage skills, not that great. If he when he gets to the next level, man, if he doesn't want to be another Roy Williams, he's gonna have to improve his ball play, his ball skill. I think he's better than Roy Williams coming out. As far as when the ball's in the air. His hands are not that great though, but I mean he's still, as far as run support, as far as knocking out. Hey man, he's the truth.
Just throw that ninjas in there, man. We use the old dirty bastard, the old dirty bastard edit, radio edit nowadays. With Mays, I gotta ask though. You say you kind of compare him to Roy Williams, but does he have the speed that Roy doesn't have as far as in coverage?
This is supposedly true. I don't know. We'll see when he gets to the combine. Supposedly he runs a 4.3. Supposedly.
At 6'3"?
6'4", man.
2-something? 6'4", 2-something?
Yeah, they say he's 6'4", but I think he's somewhere 6'3", man. But I don't know. We'll have to see what his physical measurements break down when he gets to the combine. But they say, what's his name said that? Herb Street.
Okay. Okay, it's a reliable source. With number six, you're going with Anthony Davis, tackle from Rutgers.
Yep. Guy was highly rated coming out of college. I don't know if he got Rutgers. Well, was on national TV this past week. You got to see a little pub on him. Very solid, man. Second rated tackle, man, coming out. Big guy, man.
Okay. And number seven, you got my boy, Dez Bryant, from Oklahoma State, Deion's homie.
Yep. I had him ranked a little bit lower early in the season. But, man, he's got all the tools. When he started to come on during the midseason before he got suspended, I moved him up, and he's been there since. Got everything, man. I think he'll probably run a fast time at the combine. He didn't look too slow as far as I could see, on the games that I watched him play.
And where you put him on this board, is that an indication of the receivers not being as good this year, or he's just that damn good to where he kept his spot? You know, even with missing so many games.
He's that good. He's that good. I think if the cat from Illinois, Aurelius Ben, would have had a season, maybe a whole season to play, and a decent quarterback.
Hey, Juice Williams, man. Juice Williams was taking money out that boy pocket every week, man. Snatching it right out of his wallet, man. Number eight, you got Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle from Oklahoma.
Yeah. On last year, he's a beast against Florida, man. He's and Dumakun Su knocked him down, man. He's had a pretty good season, man, but not the likes of Dumakun Su. So it's he jumped ahead of him.
Okay, and number nine, we got the player we previously discussed, Carlos Dunlap, defensive end from Florida.
Yeah, he, which may not be good. He reminds some of Anthony. I'm sorry, Derek Harvey, came out of Florida a couple years back. Probably he's got a better he's got a better motor, I'd say, than Derek Harvey. But sometimes he gets lost in the shuffle. We'll see how he produces at the next level. But as far as just overall football skills and physical specimen, man, you got to rank him up there.
And do you think this is going to be a big knock on him to where he's going to drop to the end of the first round because of the incident today?
It could be, man. Hey, it knocked Percy Harvin down when Percy Harvin should have been at least top 12. So, I mean, very well. I mean, Percy Harvin, there was rumors about him. There was really never any trouble he got into at Florida.
Right. But I think the rumors are more dangerous than actual incidents, because with rumors, they can just go from here to there. He did this. He's this kind of guy. With the incident, they know what they're dealing with. So I kind of think those rumors are a little more dangerous. If you remember the Warren Sapp rumor of him smoking and, failing the test,
failed
to find out wasn't,
Did Percy fail the test? I don't recall him failing the test.
I don't believe so.
I think he said that he smoked weed on when he was asked.
Right, I think they asked him and he told him.
There's gonna be a lot of NFL GMs that regret that, man. I can just tell by watching the kid, man, play at Florida. That kid's a football player, man. Say what you will.
Yeah, through and through, man. That speed was gonna translate. I don't care what anybody said. That dude was always a baller from his freshman year when they had him running the ball and catching those little short outs. He was a baller, man. Number 11, we got Trent Williams from Oklahoma, offensive tackle.
That's actually number 10, sir.
Oh, excuse me, number 10, Trent Williams, offensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Trent Williams, pretty decent. Actually, he could be falling in the upcoming weeks. I saw him play against Texas. He had some problems. He was rated higher. He was up in the top five spot. He dropped a little bit lower. He may even be dropping lower. He had a lot of problems with Sergio Kendall in that Texas game.
Okay. And number 11, your boy, Brandon Spikes, linebacker out of Florida.
Yes, sir. He's probably going to play defensive end at the next level, man.
Really?
I think that's probably what it's going to end up being, man, because he's a little big, man, 6'4". I don't know if you've seen when Florida plays him. They just kind of put him at defensive end and certain situations right now. I think he's got decent speed, good cover skills, but I think the only way he plays linebacker is in the 3-4 scheme at the next level.
Okay. And at number 12, we got the kid who, everybody's seen the highlight, man. The boy tried to go up top. It didn't end up good, man. He came down way too hard. Javid Best, running back out of California.
Yeah, he's got quicks. Like I said, he's my second-rated back coming off the board. I like what he offers. He fits a West Coast-style offense at the next level, if you ask me.
He catches it well?
Yeah, he's a little bit undersized, though. So,
yeah.
He's smaller than LeSean McCoy, man. Remember last year. And LeSean McCoy isn't really that big of a back, if you remember from his number from the combine. Not that
right.
Big of a guy.
Okay, and lucky number 13, you got Sam Bradford, QB from Oklahoma, currently injured.
Thought Matt Leinart lost money. God, man, I got more money than Matt Leinart.
Yeah, it looks like he made a big mistake coming back, man. Sad to see, man, but you're saying proof is in the pudding. You still got him 13. You're saying the talent is still there.
Yeah, there's no other quarterback. Jimmy Clausen may push him, but right now, I have to say, even though he hasn't played the whole year, I still rank him ahead of Jimmy Clausen. So, Jimmy Clausen has been pretty much a beast all year. He started about number 20 on my board initially, and he's moved all the way up.
Don't say the number. We got to get to him. We got to get to him. At 14, you got the defensive end you just talked about with the tackle, Sergio Kendall from Texas.
Another guy who's probably one of them hybrid guys, man. Kind of like his predecessor, Rack Poe, before him. Big guy. Probably he 6'4". It's kind of hard to say what he's going to project out. Maybe the defense, the team they draft him plays, but I think he's got a chance to be one of them outside linebackers in the 3-4 too.
Okay. And 15, you got Greg Hardy, defensive end out of Ole Miss.
Yeah. This guy. A couple of years ago, man, for all the injuries set in, this guy's a beast. He's been nicked up the past couple of years ago, but his sophomore year, this guy was unblockable. I still see the same qualities in him. It's just that he's been very injury prone, man, these last couple of years.
Sounds like a value pick, man. Like somebody might take the chance on him.
Oh yeah, I think
despite
he'll
the
end
injury
up going,
history.
If he lights it up at the combine, he'll definitely be in the first round, but he'll probably be at the latter end of the first round.
Okay. And at 16, who you just kind of gave a pre-mention to, Mr. Jimmy Clausen, QB from Notre Dame.
Yeah. As you see, man, there's been no question about his talent, man. This year he's really lit up some people, man. And He's got all the tools, man. He's got decent size. He's got above average arm strength. I think, man, not maybe coming in to start right away, but maybe in a somewhere after pick 20, some team get him like that. Maybe let him sit a couple of years.
Got a chance. Sort of like Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And do you think with his brothers and everybody else, him being in such a football family, you think that's going to add a lot to him as far as the draft is concerned? Maybe, you know, he's been watching tape a very long time and, you know, he's probably has a better understanding than most.
Not really.
No?
Not really.
Got Cameron Hayward, defensive end from The Ohio State University.
Guy's been beasting all year, man. I saw him play against USC, man. He was unblockable that night too. He was making a lot of plays. There was another defensive end on Ohio State. Can't remember his name right now, but I was also in the USC backfield that night. But this guy's been coming on, and I had him on my board before anybody, before Mel Kiper's of the world, before the CNN mock draft or the CNN. Pages. I had this guy on my board. He was a little bit lower than 17, but he's coming on.
Now, with Hayward, do you think he gets any blowback from Golston?
Nah, not at all.
Sometimes they seem to take the stigma of a college team against the guy. Yeah, hopefully not, man. We'll see. Rolando McClain, linebacker of Alabama, listed number 18.
Bum got him. Now, Mel Kiper has him challenging Brandon Spikes, being the best linebacker coming out. He is probably the best linebacker. Only reason Brandon Spikes is rated higher, I'm seeing last year Brandon Spikes playing defensive end, so I'm projecting him probably be a defensive end, you know, at the next level, pass rushing is. Is at a premium.
Okay.
So that's why he's higher. But technically, he's probably the first linebacker to come off the board. So I think Rolando McClain's the best linebacker prospect coming out. We're going to see how he plays against Florida, man. He didn't really have that great of a game last year. I saw Brandon Spikes, you know, make a lot of plays last year. And I still think Brandon Spikes is better than him. But at this point, I'm going to say Brandon Spikes probably is going to be a rush guy at the next level. So he's going right ahead of McClain. But McClain's a beast, man. This guy can tackle anything in space.
Okay, and speaking of rush guys, we got two lined up. Number 19, you got Derek Morgan, defensive end from Georgia Tech.
Anybody been watching Georgia Tech this past year, man? That's the only guy that seems to play on defense for Tech, man. Guy can bull rush you. Got a decent speed. He's a solid prospect, man. I kind of liken him to maybe Will Smith. Will Smith kind of guy from New Orleans.
Okay. And I guess a guy who's taken a big hit like Sam Bradford, George Selvey, defensive end from South Florida.
Skills are there. Probably maybe not the players around him as good as they were last year. He's still got all the tools that he had last year. So he's not falling any lower than he's going to be in my top 25. He's got all the physical skills. Very good, solid player, man. And possibly you may see him in a 3-4 scheme himself. He's kind of undersized defensive end, so he may not be playing that in a 4-3 at the next level.
All right, and 21, you got Aurelius Ben,
yeah,
from the Hill State,
only because
wide receiver,
only because of the injuries, man. If anybody's seen this guy, his freshman and sophomore years, this guy's a player. Charlie Weiss probably wishes he would have went to Notre Dame, but he probably was still out of job. But Aurelius Ben, man, return guy, speed guy, good hands. I'm sure when he gets whoever gets him in the next level, if he gets around a decent quarterback, people see his skills, man. He's got all the tools.
And at 22, you got Jermaine Gresham, tight end out of Oklahoma. He's been injured.
Jermaine Gresham, man. What can we said about him. There's no tape on him this year, strictly from last year. He's not going to get lower below 25. So strictly from last year, he's as far as the tight end. Putting him on backers, man, he's can't cover that guy. Big, good enough speed. I think you'll probably see him run probably about a 4.7 at the combine. I don't think he's really a speed guy, man, but he can really get open, man. He's very hard for linebackers to keep up with that guy, especially with his size, man. Very big.
Okay. And at 24, you got Jonathan Dwyer, running
back,
Georgia Tech.
Why you skip 23, man?
Excuse me?
Why'd you skip 23?
Oh, I must have just missed that, man. I can't believe I accidentally did that, man. At 23, Tim Tebow, quarterback, Florida.
Hey, man.
You hear my disdain. No, let's be honest, man. Number 23, you got Tim Tebow, quarterback from Florida. No, give us an honest assessment, man. I'm just messing with you.
Well, man, this guy's a football player. Like I said, I don't know if I can't remember who I was talking to, but like I said with this guy, if they give him a chance to play quarterback at the next level and it doesn't work out, this guy's a football player, man. Makes plays. He can play. So if he doesn't get a chance at being a quarterback at the next level, I'm sure they're going to find a spot for him, man. Something like a halfback, something. He can play. If you see, he can take punishment. And I think he'll find a spot somewhere at the next level. If it's not a quarterback, he'll be on somebody's football team for sure.
Yeah, with the way NFL teams are getting more innovative and a little less scared of trying things, I think no matter what, somebody's going to figure out a package for him if he can't play quarterback full time. I mean, when you see Vince Young running the option now, it's like, okay, they're not scared to try things now.
Somebody's gonna get
Vince Young, though. Somebody's gonna get him. Yeah, they keep running the option. Somebody is gonna get him, man. You're not lying on that one. Let's go back to 24, Jonathan Dwyer, running back from Georgia Tech.
All right, Jonathan Dwyer, man, big guy. Only thing that probably gonna scare people maybe running that option at this in college football, but he's got decent speed, big guy. Can take some punishment. He may even push job at best, man. I didn't see him do really much against Georgia, so there's nothing to qualify for him to be moving up any higher than at this point.
Okay. And number 25, wide receiver from Notre Dame, Golden Tate.
Golden Tate, man. Another guy who started a little bit low on the list, man. They had to put him on the board, man. He kept making plays all year. The guy's very versatile. He's a playmaker, man. At the next level, playmakers at a premium, man. As you saw last year with Percy Harvin, you run the ball, return kicks, make plays as a receiver, multiple things like that, man. You can really help the squad out the next level, man. If he continues to didn't really do much against Stanford, man, but I'm not sure if that was his fault or not. But
right.
Looks like Michael Floyd's back. He's getting a little bit more of the ball into the receiving game, taking a little bit away. But when Floyd went down, man, he was a beast. He's ranking out in the top 25.
Okay, and got your last picks outside of the 25. I guess we can get five in.
All right.
Number 26, you got Jerry Hughes, defensive end from TCU.
Jerry Hughes, man. This guy should be pushing for the top 25, man. He may push George Selvey, man, because he's going to get some big primetime games against some good competition. So we'll see. But this guy's a pretty good player. You see at the next level, too, this guy probably may be in a 3-4 scheme, man. I don't believe he's going to be a defensive end at the next level.
Right. And at 27, now this one surprised me, man. I definitely want to hear your analysis on this one. You got Jevin Snead, QB from Ole Miss at 27.
Sir, still got the talent, man. Team may not be
still
as good as it still may not be as good as it was last year. They lost a lot of players, man. If you saw with the Steelers got their wide receiver They've got a bunch of people they lost to the NFL from offense, including on the offensive line. Guy really hasn't had time, man. Sit, survey the pocket. He hasn't really looked good at times, very skittish, especially against elite competition. So he's still got the talent, man. As far as I can see, the arm strength is still there. He's still the maybe his decision-making is a little bit questionable at times, but that can be possibly because he doesn't have all of the adequate time he needs to be to sit back in the pocket sometimes and make plays. Sometimes I'm seeing jailbreak. The games I've watched him play, especially against Alabama, man, it looks like jailbreak back there. Doesn't really have a lot of time, man. As soon as he's dropped back, man, people are coming through.
Okay. And let's see here. At 28, you got Marvin Austin, defensive tackle from North Carolina.
Sleeper, man. I'm not sure he's on too many people's draft board, man, but very solid player, man. Very solid player. He was highly rated coming out of high school. Didn't really see him. I watched him play North Carolina, Georgia Tech. Very good tackler, man. Kind of sappish. Warren Sappish, man. Probably a little bit bigger than Warren Sapp.
Okay.
Taller, I should say. But he didn't really play that great against Georgia Tech. But he's had solid numbers, man. He's a decent guy. I think possibly you'll see him maybe being a high second-round pick for somebody next year.
Okay. And at number 30, you have Quan Sturdivant. Linebacker.
Yeah.
No. 29, you got Eric Norwood, defensive end, South Carolina.
Guy hadn't been as big as he was last year. He made a lot of plays last year, but he's had some decent games this year. And some games against, like I say, elite competition hasn't played as well. He's dropped a little bit. But I still think this guy, it's going to be hard to say if he's going to play defensive end at the next level. I think you may see him in a 3-4 scheme.
Okay. And number 30, to close it out, we got Quan Sturdivant, linebacker from North Carolina.
Tackling machine, man. This guy led all of the NCAA last year in unassisted tackles, man. Somebody's going to get them a solid linebacker at the next level. You may see this guy, if he puts up good combine numbers, him sneak in there and get a sneak in there and be a high first round pick. When I say high first round, I'm talking top 20.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're gonna have to finish the rest of the board. Got 8 more picks. I guess next week we can add those. But I just want to say, man, I like the board, man, mostly because the amount of people at impact positions, their defensive ends, their tackles, there's offensive tackles. There's a quarterback, a couple quarterbacks, and there's the difference-making wideouts. Those are the positions that matter the most, and those are the positions that get the fat salary on draft day.
Sure. That's the draft board for right now. As I said, we'll keep updating this draft board all the way throughout the year until the closeout of the season and into the combine. Hopefully after the combine, we'll have a final board, and then we'll put out a mock draft as well.
Okay, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Before we get out of here, though, I'd like a score from you for the SEC championship game. Your team, Florida, against Alabama.
Man,
what do you think we're looking at?
It's hard to call for me at this point, man. Emotional game, sir, so I'm going to refrain from making any bets. Carlos Dunlap hasn't made it easy on us. So, see, man, we definitely got the talent, man, but we'll see, man. I'm not predicting any scores.
Well, sir, for your non-prediction, I'm going to have to go ahead and put the curse on your team, and I will predict a Florida 17-14 victory. They march on to the national championship game to play against Texas. That's what I'm putting out there. But either way, Mr. Barzi, thank you for your time. Appreciate the insight. And for all those listening, definitely keep up with Speaking Like You Think It. Before the draft, you'll have a nice idea of what's going to happen, because we're going to give you that. And next week, we're definitely coming back with more NBA action and a little bit from the NCAA as far as who won these championship games. So, Speak It Like You Think It Radio, once again, please listen, check us out. We appreciate all the feedback we're getting, all the love. Anything you want to say on the way out, sir?
Stay tuned, man. We got more NFL, more information, more insight to come.
All right, y'all. Peace.